Welcome to this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
I want to continue on this morning. Last week we started looking at a new series which I was calling Reality Check. And we've got the PowerPoint up there in a second. We've been talking about the purposes of the church and looking at from a couple of key scriptures how essentially as a church, our purpose, our vision, our mission is the same as every other church because it was given to us by Jesus. Now, reality check we're defining as an occasion or opportunity to consider a matter realistically or honestly. So we want to have an honest look, an honest appraisal that is neither overly critical nor overly generous, if you like, about how we're going as a church in meeting some of these the things that God has called us to do, to be as a church. Last week we looked at the couple of key scriptures, and I just want to refresh those two scriptures with you. They're familiar scriptures, but ones that we probably know well, but they really feed into, create the foundation that we're building these purposes from. So the first is what we know as the Great Commandment, or the Greatest Commandment. It's from Matthew 22. It's also recorded in other places, but we'll read from Matthew 22. It says, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And so that was kind of, we looked at worship last week. We looked at that attitude of worship, that heart of devotion to God as an act of worship, being more than just singing a song or more than just what we do on Sunday mornings. And we kind of looked at, or the challenge for us was last week, how do we create a greater sense of worship in our everyday life? So how did you go with that? Some of you, have you been praying about that? Have you been thinking about that? Have you been getting some creative inspiration when you ask the Holy Spirit about how to bring a greater sense of worship into your everyday life? When you're not here and you're not in the midst of, you know, our worship service, how do you go about bringing worship into it? So hopefully, yeah, I won't ask for like a personal rundown or anything. I won't put you on the spot or anything, but hopefully you've been praying about that and asking the Holy Spirit to help you to get creative about that during the week. So we read on, it says, a second is equally important, love your neighbour as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commands. So this is the one that we're going to be looking at this morning, the whole love your neighbour as yourself kind of thing. And that's what we call ministry. So that's the purpose that we call ministry. So we get to that in just a second. Then we have the second passage of Scripture, which is the Great Commission, and one which in our churches today we talk about quite often. Was at the end of Jesus' ministry, it says he came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So Jesus gives them this incredible, monumental, seemingly impossible task of making disciples of the entire world, at which point they had no idea how big the entire world was, as far as we know. And so the task was even more impossible than what they thought. But here's the promise from Jesus that says, "I'm going to be with you. And so your ability comes not from yourself, but from me." And so we looked at the five purposes of the church that come from these two passages of Scripture. So we have love the Lord with all your heart, which we talked about as being worship. Love your neighbour as yourself, which we're going to look at this morning, is ministry. Go and make disciples, which is evangelism. Baptising them, which is fellowship, baptising people into the body of Christ, as well as in water, or water symbolising being baptised into the body of Christ, and teaching them to obey, which is discipleship. So this morning, as I mentioned, we come to the second purpose, which is ministry. I'll put a little definition. This is kind of a composite definition, if you like, which I grabbed from a couple of... The first one was... when I looked up ministry, it was kind of the action of ministering to someone. So I thought I'd better define that a little bit further. So I looked up the definition of ministering. And so we have essentially ministry as we define it. When we talk about ministry, it's the action of meeting someone's needs. This is one of the essential purposes, one of the key purposes that Jesus talks about. And we tie that back to the whole idea of loving our neighbour. And Kathy so beautifully prayed and expressed your heart and loving our neighbours and who that is. And Jesus went on to clarify in the story of the Good Samaritan about who our neighbour is. And essentially his point was our neighbour is a person that we come across who is in need. Does that sound like a fair summary of the Good Samaritan story? That was kind of the general gist of it, wasn't it? And we're kind of familiar with that. Now, before we get too much into, I kind of just alluded before to this whole concept of a reality check and kind of the honesty thing as being sort of, we want to kind of avoid the extremes of being either overly harsh and overly critical, and being overly soft or having the rosy-coloured glasses. Now, we fall into one of these two camps, don't we? We're either the kind of person who are inclined to pat ourselves on the back for even the smallest bit of effort that we might do, no matter how easy or convenient it might have been at the time. We go, oh, yeah, I did this and I did that, and no matter how small. And I think I tend to fall a little bit more into that camp. But then we have the other people on the other end of the spectrum who will criticize, they'll give the shirt off their back to somebody, but then they'll beat themselves up because they didn't give them their pants and their shoes as well. So we kind of, and Kerry's a little bit more like that. So hopefully in some ways we kind of, we balance each other out a little bit and sort of bring each other a little bit closer towards the middle. And that's kind of where we want to take the approach that we want to take this morning is neither being overly critical where we find any excuse to say, oh, we're not good enough, we're miserable, because that's not constructive or particularly realistic, I think. But neither do we want to put on our rosy-coloured glasses and pat ourselves on the back for essentially doing, only slightly more than nothing. Does that sound fair? All right, so the object of this whole series is to be honest, to have a realistic kind of look as much as we can do with all of our inbuilt sort of biases and tendencies and personality and all that kind of stuff. We want to kind of get to the nitty-gritty and be honest and neither be in denial about where we're at, nor be overly inclined to pat ourselves on the back too much. Okay, so ministry, this comes out of this whole, I want to start with this question, and it's kind of a fairly easy question. Who likes easy questions? Gary does. Everybody else prefers hard questions. I've got some of those coming later, so you'll all be happy this morning, all right? Who just really doesn't like putting their hand up in any situation? Good on you. Yeah, some of you. Okay, good, thanks. Okay, so here's the easy question, all right? Did God put you here as part of this church family and just to come to a meeting once a week? No. Good. Correct. You got it right. I told you it was going to be an easy question, didn't I? You got a point today, Gary. Well done, mate. Okay, now, so we know that meetings are not a bad, like meeting together is not a bad thing. Hebrews tells us not to give up meeting together as some people were getting into the habit of doing. They were kind of go, oh, well, it's, I can just be a Christian on my own and, I don't need to come to church or I don't need to gather together. And writers of Hebrews says, no, don't get into that. Like meeting together is actually a really helpful thing for us as Christians to do. We get built up and we worship together and we encourage one another. And there's all kinds of stuff that, we learn about stuff and we share our gifts and stuff to one another. And God's called us to be part of that and to be the church. Part of that is about meeting one another's needs. And it's great to get together and celebrate, isn't it? All right, so we're not saying churches are like meeting together on a Sunday or whenever it is we do it is not important, but it's got to be more than that, doesn't it? Our purpose as a church is far greater than just coming and meeting. Otherwise, we're just kind of a social club. We have this passage of scripture here in Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. It says, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So essentially what Paul is saying here is that God has given, now all of these things are like, these are people, right? So the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, or some translations say pastors and teachers. Pastor is essentially just a word translated from a word that means shepherd. So in this translation here, we've got shepherds. These are people who are given to the church to actually equip you, equip the church family as a whole to actually do the work of ministry that God has called us as a church to do. And part of that is building up the body of Christ. So what does it mean to build up the body of Christ? Come on, give me some interaction here. Wake up. Encourage brothers and sisters. Absolutely. Yep. What else does it mean? Yep. Sharing the gospel. Like building up the... Okay, keep going. Throw it. Who else has got something to throw? Brack, what do you got? Absolutely. So we encourage one another. We help to meet needs and be answers to prayer. Yep, absolutely. What else can we do? What builds you up?
Share faith stories.
Oh, come on, let someone else have a turn. What's that? Absolutely. Gratitude, thankfulness. Yep. Pete, what do you got? Wow, how did you think of that? That's awesome. Okay, so like testimonies and sharing stories of what God's done that helps build our faith. Yeah, that builds us up, doesn't it? All right, what else you got? What encourages you? What builds you up?
Music.
Yep, worshipping together. Absolutely. Fantastic way to build up the church of God. That's two. Yeah, it's good. Doing well. All right. Come on, what else you got? I know you're smart people and there's things that are rattling around in those heads of yours. You're just going like, no, I'm not saying anything. I can see that looks like... Gav, what do you got back there? Oh, nothing. You were just identifying with that, I'm not going to say anything kind of... Okay. What was that, Nori?
Sharing food.
Sharing food. Yeah, absolutely. Yep, like, absolutely. Look, sometimes it can be absolutely fantastic to just kind of chat with someone over some food. Like to just eat some stuff and, you know, chill out and fellowship. And, you know, Bible talks about, you know, when it talks about in Acts chapter 2, it says the things that the disciples devoted themselves to, one of them was breaking bread together. All right, now you think, oh yeah, well, we over-spiritualize that sometimes and go, oh, that was, you know, the Lord's Supper, and, you know, I was like, well, yeah, it probably was, but that was part of eating together, you know, in the early church, and you know, and they, that's there right alongside, you know, the apostles' teaching and the Word of God, and it's right alongside prayer, you know, and this whole idea of fellowship and, you know, coming together and building one another up, meeting one another's needs. But there's, like you said before, Haley, with sharing the gospel, building up the church also means building up the church in size, doesn't it? Yeah? Does that seem fair? Am I stretching? Am I reading into this too much? Building up the body of Christ. If we think about building up the body of Christ in terms of making it healthy, right? Making it, you know, we talk about when we look at a child, an infant, as they grow up, as we put nutrients into them and other stuff comes out of them, and you know, you know, but we feed them and, you know, give them nurture and love and care in order to build them up. What happens to that little infant size? It gets bigger, doesn't it? Yeah, as long as it's healthy. Yeah, that's right. Some prime examples down here on the front row. To build up the body of Christ. This is the work of ministry. And as we defined it at the start, ministry is the action of meeting someone's needs. The church exists to demonstrate God's love to others by meeting their needs and healing their hurts in the name of Jesus. You know, every time you reach out to another person, you in love, you are ministering to them. You're a minister. Did you know that? You're a minister in our church. Now, you might not be part of the Waiala Christian Ministers Association. You might not have an official title or a rank as a minister of religion, but you are a minister in every sense of the word that actually really counts. When you are, or if you are, actually ministering to people in our community, in your circle of the world. Yes? The church is created by God to minister to all kinds of needs. Like you said before, Kathy, you stole my point. Spiritual, emotional, relational, physical. Like, you know, God has put us in this incredibly privileged position of being able to actually make the world a better place. That's part of what we're called to do as a church, isn't it? The world ought to be a better, Waiala ought to be better because the church is here than what it would be without the church. Yes? All right. Matthew chapter 5, you probably know this verse too. It says, you are the light of the world. The church, he's talking to his disciples here. He's not talking to the random crowds that gathered. It actually specifically says at the beginning of chapter 5, it says his disciples came to him and he started to teach his disciples all these kinds of things. And this is one that he says. He says, you are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. God hasn't put himself into the church in order to be hidden away. He put himself into the church so that he would be revealed to the world around us. And so part of what we must be doing, part of what we're supposed to be doing, part of what God's plan and design for us as a church would be is that we would demonstrate, that we would reveal, that people would see God through us. That's a scary thought. This was God's plan, was that when people looked at you, they would see him. Ooh. He goes on, instead, the lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You know what it doesn't say there? It doesn't say, let your prayers be so loud that everybody hears you. It doesn't say that, does it? No. It doesn't say, be so holy and pious and set apart and holier than thou that everybody will see how religious and committed to the church you are. It doesn't say that, does it? I think some people must be reading a different translation to what I read, because sometimes I see in people's actions and people's lives that they're like, that's what they're supposed to do in order to be a good Christian. But what Jesus says, he says, let your good deeds, like the stuff that you do, the way that you minister to people around you, the way that you meet people's needs without, you know, making a song and dance about it, or without, without too much fuss, whatever. It says just do good. Be good in your community. Let people see, like, that there's love in you. So there's all kinds of needs that we have in our community, isn't there? I just want to kind of just touch on a few kind of human, basic human needs, and just kind of maybe just help us to maybe spark some things within us, because it's not all just about, you know, paying for somebody's groceries, right? Like, there's more to meeting needs than that. Like, we're not all called to do that, are we? So there's different types of needs. Okay, firstly, spiritual needs. Now, obviously, this is really important for the church because nobody else does this. Not properly, anyway. Okay? There's some counterfeits out there, isn't there? Like in religions that kind of, that promise to meet people's spiritual needs, but the only way that people's spiritual needs are actually really and truly met is through the Church of Jesus. It is through actual personal being introduced to the person of Christ and having that personal relationship with the God of all the universe. This is the only way that our spiritual needs actually get met. Now, as human beings, what are our spiritual needs? All right, here's another question and answer kind of bit. All right, so we're being a little bit more interactive than usual this morning, but I've got to keep you awake somehow. What are our spiritual needs? What's the most obvious spiritual need that we as human beings have? We need Christ. I assume by that you mean we need salvation. Yep, so we need to be reborn. We need our spirit to actually be regenerated and made new and taken from death into life. Yes? All right, I don't think there's any argument about that. So salvation is our first and obviously our most primary spiritual need as a human being. We begin dead and we need to be made alive. What else have we got? Once that happens and we're actually Christians and believers, what spiritual needs do we actually have after that? Yep. What need does the Holy Spirit actually meet in us? Once we become a Christian, is that the only kind of spiritual thing that we then do or need, or what are some kind of spiritual things that actually we need as Christians and as believers? I'm not trying to be too tricky, but. Yep. So, in that sense, one of the spiritual needs that we have is actually a connection and interaction and a relationship with God. That is kind of a continuing thing. We need to kind of continue to have the presence of God in our life. Yep, absolutely. Yep. Okay, I'll help you out here, all right? I'll fill you in on where my train of thought goes, okay? Okay, some of the things that, and this kind of comes a little bit along the same lines as what we were talking about before, spiritual things for me that we need, like we need worship. We need things that actually impart into our spirit. Our spirit gets dry when we go for too long a period without worship, yes? Have you ever experienced that? Yes. You know, if they're, for whatever reason you're disconnected from being able to worship, or you're going through a tough spell and you're angry with God or whatever, and you just go, no, that's it, forget it, you know, whatever. We dry up, don't we? We shrivel up. It's like that whole, you know, the campfire thing with the coals. You've got a nice red coal and you take it away and it goes black real quick, and then you put it back and it's red again, you know, as long as you keep them all together. And there's this whole kind of thing of worship and having our spirits built up and praying for one another. These are all things that actually build us up spiritually. They're spiritual things that we need. We need spiritual food, you know, which is the Word of God. These are things that our spirit hungers and thirsts for because they're spiritual needs that we have. You know, it's very true to say that, you know, God meets our spiritual needs, but I think it's also very true, as we talked about before, to say that actually meeting together, we meet one another's spiritual needs. I mean, who here... I think probably most of you would have witnessed and would have seen the difference between, you know, when you come to church and there's hardly anybody here and the mood's flat and the singing's a bit meh, and, you know, and you're not really into it, and, you know, whatever, or you're tired and you're half asleep and, you know, you go away. Who feels like really spiritually built up after that? Not really. And probably most of you can also identify times when you've come to church and there's you know, the seats are full and the worship's enthusiastic and someone's given a testimony about some awesome thing that God's done, and there's, you know, prophetic words and things that are being spoken in the worship time, and you just know that the presence of God is here and it's powerful, and you go away and you just go, wow, I just feel so filled up and built up. Okay, I use that to illustrate this point. There is a very real sense in which we actually can be a part of meeting somebody else's spiritual needs. But do you know what? God cannot use you to meet someone else's spiritual needs if you're not here. seems fairly obvious, really, doesn't it? You know. So you actually have a part to play in making that happen, in making it the good version rather than the meh version. The meh version. Yeah, it's spelled M-E-H. Just in case you were wondering. It is, absolutely. That'll be next year's word of the year in the dictionary, absolutely. So you have a part to play in meeting somebody's spiritual needs. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to just be here Sunday morning. It can be when you get together with somebody during the week. It can be when you bump into someone at the supermarket and you're chatting about something and something comes up and whatever, you say, you know, can I just pray for you in that whatever it is that you're going through, you know, that you've just been telling me about. Or, you know, it can be anywhere and everywhere, and I think it's supposed to be. But there is a very real sense in which, you know, God, there's this coming together that is actually quite important in terms of our spiritual needs and being built up and the way that God chooses to do that in our lives. Okay, emotional, I've kind of grouped emotional needs and relational needs together here, and I won't spend too much time on this, but I just wanted to kind of elaborate on what we mean by this, because sometimes it's one of those sort of vague, sort of esoteric, intangible kind of concepts that sometimes can be a little bit tricky. So who's heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs? Some of you have done social work or youth work or chaplaincy and things might have, or teaching, might have heard of this. But basically, this guy called Maslow, who came up with a thing that says, you know, we all have human needs, and he's kind of ranked them in order of what's most important. So there's things like safety and shelter and food, and but there's also sort of some intangible things like love and relationships and human contact, and I can't remember them all, but it's not too important. But Maslow actually kind of broke down emotional needs into a kind of like a subcategory. And so that's where this is kind of coming from. So there's a few things that are part of sort of emotional relational needs that are like this. So we have some here. So security, feeling safe. Okay, volition, which is a fancy word for feeling like we have the power to make our own choices. Attention, giving someone attention and receiving attention from people is actually important. Emotional need that as human beings that we have. Emotional connection, friendship, love, intimacy, that sort of thing. Privacy, this was an interesting one, wasn't it? The chance to actually have our own space and be able to process our own thoughts. That's a really important one for me. Some of us are probably more inclined to or need more of that than what some of others of us do. But you know what it's like. I think probably for most of us can identify with that concept of, you know, when we're around other people too much, when you go and stay at somebody's house and you don't have your own space, you know, and after a week or after a couple of weeks or however long it might be for you, you're like, I just feel like I just need my own space, and maybe I'll just go out for a walk and have my own kind of headspace to process thoughts and things like that. A sense of status. This is not necessarily, what we mean by that is knowing that we have some value within the group that we're a part of. Knowing that we're actually worth something, that people actually think that who we are as a person has some value. And a sense of achievement, sense of actually accomplishing something that we're part of, something happening, and you know, there's purpose and a sense of meaning and all that kind of stuff in our lives. So here are some these are some examples of what we talk about when we talk about emotional. And maybe there are some, as we're reading down through that list, you go, yeah, that's actually, so there's some really important things there. Some things that, you know, we would really struggle if we didn't kind of have some of those things. And these are just kind of hardwired, they're built into us as human beings to different degrees. And I was really interested because one of the things that I talk about when we talk about loving our neighbour and meeting people's needs and doing good and all that kind of stuff, I think of the story of the sheep and the goats. Remember that one when Jesus tells the story of how people are going to stand before God on Judgment Day and God's going to say, you know, to some, you know, well done, you looked after, you did all these things for me, and so, you know, and they were like, you know, when did we do that for you? And Jesus will say, well, when you did it for the least of my brothers, believers, then you did it for me. Okay, anybody never read that passage? Good, we're familiar with that one. It was really interesting when Jesus is actually talking about the needs. He starts off with, you know, I was hungry and you fed me, I was thirsty and you gave me water to drink. But there's a couple that go beyond just material needs. If you're familiar, just have a quick look. There's a little passage in the middle here. It says, I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Can you hear in some of those things, some of those emotional and relational needs that we talked about? These are not all just purely material things, are they? Yeah? Come on. Help me out here. Give me something. Give me something. All right. Okay. I know it's an obvious, it's a rhetorical question, but you can still interact with me, okay? It's allowed. Okay? Okay. Thanks, Gary. So Jesus is talking. He's saying, you know, the things that we need to focus on are not purely material. It's not purely just about, you know, giving someone food when they've got no food. It's not just about giving someone $5 when they don't have bus money. You know, there are also things, there are also needs that are very real and a very important part of our ministry that go beyond just material things. Okay? So we had spiritual needs, emotional needs, and physical needs. I think most of us probably really understand fairly well what physical needs, what it is to help somebody, you know, by meeting some of their physical needs. All right? I don't think we need to elaborate too much of that. I did just want to make one point with something that when it comes to meeting physical needs, that I would probably also include praying for somebody who's sick. Now, you might not have thought about that in terms of meeting somebody's physical need, but in a very real sense, that was a lot of what Jesus did with the crowds, wasn't it? You know, he did things like, you know, feeding them, but he also did things like healing the sick, meeting their physical needs of health, you know, overcoming sickness and that sort of thing in their body. So I just wanted to throw that in just as a little thought. Physical, meeting someone's physical needs is more than just about food. It's more than just about money. Sometimes it's also about being willing to pray for someone who's sick. So here's the $6 million question. Is anyone here that thinks that, like, our church family here is responsible for meeting every need in the world today? Anybody? No? No, obviously not. Okay. It's a bit of a silly question, isn't it? But no matter... You know, if we're kind of being realistic, we're being honest, we go, however many of us there are here today, 20, 25 of us that are here today, we're probably not going to be even able to meet every need that's in Whyalla, let alone the rest of the country or the world. All right? The good thing is that we're not supposed to. All right? There's actually thousands and tens of thousands of other churches and, you know, about a billion different believers around the world that are also part of this whole meeting the needs of people in our community. There are all sorts of secular organizations and things that are going on trying to meet the needs of our community. So we're not supposed to do it all. So here's the question. What are the needs that we should be trying to meet? How do we know what they are? Let me give you some suggestions. Which needs do we try to meet? Because the reality that we can't meet them all is no excuse to sit back and do nothing, is it? Okay, we've just established very clearly, hopefully, and looked at Scripture. And I think if you've ever actually opened your Bible and read the Bible or read what Jesus has said, you know that one of the purposes of the church is to do ministry. So we've got to be doing something. There's no excuse to sit back. So how do we know what to do? Number one, what does God say? And that kind of seems fairly obvious, doesn't it? But I think sometimes it's one that we actually forget and one that we skip over. When it comes to us as a church going, what needs in our community are we supposed to be trying to meet? How are we supposed to be helping people in our community? The number one thing that we need to do is go back to God and say, God, tell us what to do. God is, after all, the head of our church. And if he's not leading, then, you know, we're not going the right direction, right? That kind of seems fairly obvious statement, I think. But this has to be the place where we start. If we're not following Jesus in this, then we haven't got the right beginning. What does God want us to pursue? Because ultimately, the things that we pursue in obedience to God are going to be far more effective when we're working in partnership with the Holy Spirit than we're working by ourselves. Like, us plus God is much, much bigger than just us by ourselves. Yeah? So if we want to actually be like a bazillion times more effective, that's the technical term, then we need to actually be partnering with the Holy Spirit, using his resources, following his lead, coming behind him when he opens the door and makes the way, prepares people's hearts and resources, all the things that we're meant to do. So this is number one. I'll put a little picture here. It kind of made me think of, has anybody seen Travelers? TV show on Netflix. I've been watching it a little bit. It's kind of one of those sci-fi shows where people from the future and the world's kind of all gone like terrible and you know, 80% of the world's population has died, you know, several hundred years in the future. And so there's this incredible artificial intelligence, which is known as the Director. And they figure out a way to actually project somebody's, like their consciousness, back into the body of a person back in the 21st century, back in our time, with the whole purpose of trying to make the world a better place. So they have these strategic missions and communications from the Director, which is this, you know, wonderful artificial intelligence that can sort of see all the permutations and combinations and outcomes of the actions they take in 21st century and how it will affect the future. All right, so we have these people who are travellers, right? They're from the future. They know how bad everything turns out and they're determined to change the course of history by doing different things. Now, sometimes there are things that they do. They have missions, right? And sometimes their missions are, you know, to prevent a major catastrophe or a disaster that kills thousands of people, or, you know, nuclear meltdowns and things like that. Other times their mission is to save one person. One person who, you know, might be a child or someone who seems completely insignificant. But they have this faith in the Director because they know that he can see things and understand things and understand the impact of small decisions and small changes and how that, you know, all the things that can possibly come from that. And I thought a little bit about that. And it kind of, in some ways, I kind of relate to that because we're kind of similar. We have a Director, right, who is God, far better than any artificial intelligence. But we trust by faith that he can see things about the outcomes and the consequences of the actions that we take now that we could never possibly hope to predict. And so by faith, we obey the instructions of God, our Director, knowing that he sees the future and he knows things that we couldn't hope to know, and that, you know, things that might seem insignificant to us now could potentially have big ramifications and, you know, potential for good as it's sort of amplified down through the ages. You know, you think, you know, the greatest evangelists and the greatest people who've done incredible things for God and missionaries that have converted, you know, huge sections of countries and stuff, like, it was one person that led them to the Lord usually. And, you know, that person at that time could never have known, you know, what was going to happen through that person's life. You know, and so we kind of have this, we always have to come back to that following the instructions of our Director, following the instructions of the one who knows, the God who we serve. Yeah? So that's number one. There's my sci-fi reference for this week. Okay, number two. When we're trying to work out which needs God wants us to fulfill, we ask the question, firstly, is what does God say? Number two, what's in your hand? Pen. Now, I don't necessarily, I kind of mean that sort of metaphorically, if you like. Okay? I always love the example of, you know, come back to Moses, and he's one of my great heroes of the faith and stories that I love. And, you know, in Exodus, when God calls Moses at the burning bush, and Moses is like, but what if they don't believe me? And what if they don't listen to me? And, you know, and God's response is, what's in your hand? And he's got his staff that he uses to whack the sheep when they get out of line, you know. And so, you know, God says, I'm going to use that to be a sign to the people that I'm with you. In Exodus chapter 35, this is God's giving instructions for the tabernacle. Do you remember what the tabernacle was? When the Israelites were wandering through the desert, they didn't have a permanent sort of home, so they had their church, their place of worship, where the Ark of the Covenant was stored and God's presence resided. It was basically a big tent. And God gave them very specific instructions about all the details and things to be made and instructions about how it was to be constructed. But it says this, there's all the women who were skilled in sewing and spinning prepared blue, purple and scarlet thread and fine linen cloth. You might say, well, that's wonderful, you know, but so what? You know, some women did some sewing. Let's not be too stereotypical here or anything, but hey, it was like a long time ago. But, you know, essentially, I kind of put this verse here to say, you know, everybody who had skills that were of use said, I'll use what I'm good at to be part of building up God's plan, building up part of God's house, building up part of God's temple. And, you know, there's a very real sense in which for us, you know, God says, this is what I require of you also. The things that I have given you abilities in, the areas where I've gifted you, the things that I've made you good at, it wasn't just for you to have a nice time with them. They were actually things that I want to be put into my house, skills that were important for my kingdom. And he says, I want to use those. I want to redeem those things, not purely for secular purposes, but for holy purposes. You know, regardless of what it is, whether you're great at maths and accounting, whether you're great at building stuff with your hands or, you know, fixing things, or whether you're a great talker and communicator or a good listener and a counselor, God wants to redeem all of those things. You know, that's no accident that you're good at those things. God wants to redeem those things. God wants to use those things. And he says, you know, this question, you know, he says, if that's what's in your hand, your metaphorical hand, if that's part of your life, if that's what you've got to give, to offer, he says, I'm going to use that to minister to somebody in my name. Okay? So this is number two. We're thinking, what can we do in our community? Go, what skills do we have? What resources do we have? You know, and we trust that God's not put those here by mistake, but because they will equip us to the kind of ministry that he wants us to do. So part of that process is actually looking around, is actually thinking, not just me, but you too, thinking, going, what have I got to contribute? What kind of ministry could I do? What kind of skills have I got that could actually help somebody, that could meet somebody's need? What kind of resources do I have that could meet somebody's need? I can hear the cogs turning already. Okay, and number three, what does God say? What's in your hand? And number three is, what's on your heart? What stirs your passion? What makes you angry? What makes you sad? What actually prompts you into action? What would it take to get you off of your couch and doing something? What was that? Cattle prod, yeah, maybe. Voluntarily, I'm kind of saying. What would actually make you want to get up? What are the things that you care about? What are the needs in the community that you go, gee, I wish I could help that person with that need that they had? Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, You may have heard me talk about this passage of Scripture before, but one of the things that I'm absolutely convinced that this passage of Scripture is talking about is that, you know, if we spend time with God, if we take joy in God's presence, that He will actually begin to put desires for things and passions for things in your heart. And sometimes when there are things that we're passionate about, and sometimes when there are dreams that we have, and sometimes when there are desires and things that stir within us, those maybe sometimes are God things. And the things that God is actually dropping into your heart and saying, I'm going to stir this and I'm going to build it up until it gets to the point where you just can't help but do something about it. And if you try to do it on your own, you might mess it up. But if you do it with me, then we're actually going to do some great stuff together. You know, what are the things that you actually feel really strongly about? What are the things that you care about? And I'm going to finish this morning with just a couple of questions. So we've talked about different needs. Maybe that sparks some things in you in terms of how you could meet some needs. We've talked about, you know, how for us as a church, but also for us as individuals to kind of go, how do we decide what kind of things to do when there's so many things that it all seems a little overwhelming? How do we begin to narrow that down and go, what's the direction that God is directing me? But I want to finish with a couple of questions. And just a warning, you know, if this gets a little bit uncomfortable, it's not because I'm aiming anything at anybody, all right? We'll just trust that that's the Holy Spirit just like bringing some stirring in our heart, okay? So here's question number one. How willing are you to participate? Are you the kind of person who looks for ways to get involved? Are you the kind of person that looks for excuses to get in on what's going on in terms of church ministry? Or are you the person that is relieved when you have to work that day? Or is relieved when you're going to be away on the day when the working bee is, or, you know, whatever, and you go, oh, phew, I don't have to do it now. I'll just let that simmer for just a moment. Are you quick to make excuses, or do you look for ways to get involved? And here's my second question. How willing are you to pray and to make suggestions regarding potential ministry things that we as a church could do? How willing are you to go and get before God and you know, the things that we've been talking about this morning and go, God, here's the things that I think you're putting on my heart. God, help me to have some wisdom, to stir some stuff in my heart, to get passionate about some stuff, and then actually come and open your mouth and say, hey, I'm really passionate about this. Could we maybe as a church find some way to do something? Or are you the kind of person that avoids making suggestions because if you make a suggestion, you know, someone's going to expect you to be involved? There's a few giggles. It's like that though, isn't it? There's that so often, and it's pretty human. I think for a lot of us, there's probably that thought that runs through our head, you know, if I speak up, if I open my mouth, I'm going to put my foot in it and someone's going to expect something from me. But how willing are you to do that? How willing are you to be that answer to prayer? How willing are you to maybe give up a little bit of your time or share some of your resources in order to help this church accomplish that purpose of ministry into our community? Here's your homework for this week. I want you guys to think about this. I want you guys to pray about this. Okay, I'm not going to come and ask each of you for an answer, but I'm really hoping and praying that maybe some of you are going to come and respond to this in some way. Maybe not today, but maybe during the week or, you know, next week, or as the Holy Spirit drops things onto your heart, that you're going to go, yeah, God's actually really telling me to speak up and say something about this and to be willing to put my money where my mouth is, so to speak. All right, will you do that with me? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this incredible privilege that it is to be your people, to be carriers of this treasure that we have, that is this good news about Jesus, this good news about relationship with you, this good news about peace and hope and transformation that can come, this good news about how we can have new life. But God, you also give us this incredible privilege of being people who can be your ambassadors in this ministry of reconciling and bringing people back into relationship with you and doing good in our city and blessing people and caring for people and loving people. And God, sometimes that's hard and sometimes it's thankless. And God, sometimes we feel really unappreciated and like it's just not worth it. But God, we pray that you would continue to help us to step out in faith and to know that you will bring the rewards when we're obedient to you and the things that you call us to do. God, help us to be effective ministers of your grace and of your love, to be people who care about meeting the needs of others in order that we would be people who demonstrate your love, that we would be your hands and your feet, speaking loudly in words of action and words of love and words of grace to those around us who have needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs, relational needs, and physical needs. God, help us to be people who meet needs of others in your name and for your glory, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.